communists know that you must place the struggle top-notch against racism, racial segregation, and national oppression at the center of the revolutionary task of the working class. But again, as I said, it'll take more than rhetoric. President Carter formally opens the next round of peace talks between Egypt and Israel tomorrow morning, yes, at the White House. More of his sellout maneuvers. Congressional leaders and members of the diplomatic corps are then expected to attend the ceremonies. The negotiating teams will then move across the street to the presidential guest residence to begin a series of long bargaining sessions. Late this afternoon, President Carter meets with the Egyptian delegation, which is expected to arrive in Washington shortly. Before leaving Paris this morning, Egypt's acting foreign minister told reporters that he hopes the expected peace treaty leads to a similar accord between Israel and other Arab countries. But thus far, the Arab countries are hostile as hell over the nerve of Egypt's dictatorship and the Zionist state of Israel's dictatorship, and Carter and his de facto dictatorship representing the Trilateral Commission, the puppet. They're deciding their fate is just upsetting the Arabs immensely. King Hussein, for instance, of Jordan, has stated the negative position to the Camp David agreement. Addressing the people of his own country, the Arab nation, over radio and television, King Hussein said a settlement must be based on the immediate withdrawal of all the troops from the occupied territories and respect of the rights of the Palestinians to self-determination. He demanded the restoration of Arab sovereignty over the eastern part of Jerusalem, which has been their Mecca, as I told you yesterday. Stand by.
Hey, hey, hey. I have lost it.
The Lebanese president returned to Damascus today for another round of talks with the Syrian president on the crisis in Beirut, which is nearly leveled to the ground. Once the most beautiful city outside of San Francisco to some, it's become also wrecked, infested and vermin-infested and ghetto-ridden, but Beirut was one of the most attractive cities in the world. Earlier, he stopped briefly in Jordan after concluding a tour of Gulf states that participate in Lebanon's Syrian so-called peacekeeping force. The Lebanon president has called a conference of those states this afternoon on putting an end to the crisis in his country. In Beirut, immediately, in the Dominican Republic, the new administration in the Dominican Republic recently released 13 of 200 political prisoners held by the former right-wing government. The London-based Latin American Political Report, LAPR, noted yesterday 13 were the first to benefit from an amnesty law passed September 8th by the liberal administration of Antonio Guzman, who's been forced economically to not be as progressive as he desired to be. He wanted to enter into full relations with Cuba and other third world socialist nations, but USA invaded the Dominican Republic just a few years ago, and they are not unmindful of that. The report said a number of political exiles are expected to return to the country under the amnesty law. By the way, it might be of interest to you, the U.S. Marines we paid taxes to and should have a great deal of guilt about, some 13 years ago, invaded them for only one reason. They didn't like the president they had chosen. That makes one feel pretty sick, I would say. All right, a few more detainees are expected to be released later, but the cases of all others will be reviewed by Attorney General's office. According to LAPR, President Guzman earlier proposed a special commission to review these cases, but it was voted down by the Congress dominated by its own party, the Dominican Revolutionary Party, PRD. In another legal issue, the government summarily dismissed an assistant prosecutor who ordered a police raid on the home of Polibio Diaz, D-I-A-Z, former President Joaquin Balaguer's, B-A-L-A-G-U-E-R-S, lawyer and advisor. The dismissal abated speculation that the Guzman administration was on a vendetta to persecute members of the former government. In one of his first diplomatic moves since the party came into power in August, Venezuelan President Carlos Andres Perez is expected to visit Santo Domingo soon to ratify a treaty in trade and technical cooperation. Students take over university in Mexico. Students of the University of Mexico Marine Sciences and in Ensenada, in the Mexico state of Baja, California, took over the institution last week in response to cutbacks in funds. Students have ceased commotion. They've ceased all formal classes, research programs, and other academic activities, and are supported by the faculty and service workers in the setting up of an experimental collective running the school, according to information reaching the New York Times. Students have also occupied land around the university, which the state governor promised 4 years ago to use as an extension of the institution's facilities. They have constructed a miniature library and an auditorium. Two facilities which the governor had also promised to provide. Prior to the takeover, service workers of the university had threatened to strike to demand better conditions. Students are also asking for a budget for teaching, research, and laboratory results, and extension of community services to the area. They have also called for student and faculty participation in the choice of the rector in charge of the statewide university system. The local press has charged that outside agitators, as always the press is the arm of the capitalist element, newspapers and TV never fails, said it's outside agitators, specifically exiled Chilean professors, they say, have incited the students to take over the university. The students deny such charges or even any acquaintance with Chileans who were taken into Mexico, given asylum. The few that were, like USA, a mere token that we still have to feed out of San Francisco this very day. The institution is one of Mexico's major marine science schools, and the only one awarding diplomatic degrees and diplomas equivalent to the U.S. Bachelor of Science degree. Its programs focus on developing from the sea resources and attempts to integrate with social, economic, and political problems. Thailand, students demand rights. In several colleges and institutions, Thai students are demanding freedom from government control, according to the Thai Information Center. At Thammasat, Thammasat University, 1,500 students rallied last week to protest the college administration's ban on student self-government. Earlier in the year, students at Bangkok's Rakhamhaeng University, RIMTAMHAENG, University, distributed leaflets condemning the university's unfair treatment and suppressing their right to elect their own leaders. Thailand, you know, brought in a merciless dictatorship that killed many students when they did. The students of the world, except in USA, that are under capitalism, are protesting loud and clear this year, but U.S. goes along its apathetic way, not caring, not concerned. The resurgence of student activism comes after the severe repression of the progressive student movement following the October 1976 military coup to a fascist state in Thailand. A year later, when a right-wing civilian government replaced the military junta, still fascist, another fascist coup, the fascists fight amongst themselves, capitalists fight amongst themselves. That's why I don't see why everyone doesn't know the reality of socialism, because only socialism teaches you concern for one another and to help one another and to care. You say, well, a lot of folk here don't care. I've seen plenty that care. I've seen people share things with other people, share clothing, share food, lots of things, although we don't want any food sharing because of other reasons. If you have a problem with food, you have some complaint about food, you write that in the suggestion box. So, a year later, when this new fascist junta took over, it replaced the military junta. The government made promises of limited student activities. The limitations, however, included a ban against any student unions drafting their own rules. Well, Paraguay and political prisoners are on hunger strike, and they have said they will continue until they die if the regime refuses to meet their demands. There are hundreds and hundreds in the Paraguayan prison system. Bless their hearts. Power to the people. Nigeria. Nigeria's military government, adhering to its promise to return the country to civilian rule by October 1, 1979, lifted the 12-year ban on political parties and civilian political activities, and there's been a noted increase of friendship towards the Soviet Union, which is the vanguard of liberation in Africa. In a nationwide radio and television broadcast, the head of state, Lieutenant General Olusegun, O-L-U-S-E-G-U-N, Obasanjo, O-B-A-S-A-N-J-O, ended the state of emergency imposed by martial law. That's how all dictatorships come about. He ended it, which had been imposed since the first military coup in January 1966. India. India's National Congress Party, the formal heir to the organization that dominated the struggle for independence and ruled that country nearly unchallenging for the 30 years after that, is dying an ignominious death. After its domination, strength by Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, and subsequent defeat in March 1977, national elections, Indira Gandhi's attempt to split the party to come back and make a representative democracy in early 1978. After her surprising comeback in the spring, state assembly elections, by state assembly elections, what remains of the party is only a shadow of its former self. With a share of power, share in the power is the only strength, the only hope, is the alliance with the pro-Moscow element of the National Congress Party that used to be one of the strongest and was thought never could be brought down. The last of the news, war games have killed 1,300. At least 1,300 persons have been killed thus far in the year's massive NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, war games. Those are the lackeys and USA. They call it the Western imperialists, those who are liberated. They've been killed in Western Europe. Among the dead are at least of them are almost half West German civilians. At a time when opposition to the NATO maneuvers is growing in this country, more than 300,000 troops from 12 nations are taking part in the annual exercises, which are intended to demonstrate the might and preparedness of NATO forces. The operations range from Norway to Turkey, with most concentration along the east-west border in West Germany to try to just agitate the Soviet Union. The enormous movement of troops and military vehicles has resulted in many accidents and fatalities. For instance, a West German woman was crushed by the tank while crossing the road near her home. Soldiers have been killed in crashes of helicopters and trucks in many accidents. Capitalist factories now are not making sound equipment, yet you never hear them charged with crime. They ought to, even the capitalists who are trying to extend their influence, you would think, would demand they would make the proper kind of planes for their lackey soldiers or their Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes that fight their war. But they're always pinching that penny, even though it will finally kill them like it did Howard Hughes and J. Paul Getty. Meanwhile, opposition to the exercises for other reasons has reached the point where West Germany's defense minister has called for a NATO review of their political effect in Eastern Europe and the Third World. The sheer scale of the games, 10 times the size of any of the Warsaw Treaty exercises, is widely seen as contributing to the arms buildup in Europe and the danger of imminent, that means close coming, of nuclear war. Please remember to do your best today. By doing your best, if you can show that you could produce in 8 hours in these days ahead, what you did in 10, we will reduce so we can have more time for leisure, for study, for Russian language, for something at least diversionary. And it depends upon you. They're making analyst reports, and I'm looking forward to reading them carefully. Be sure, I had many, many suggestions in the box again. Be sure that they are suggestions that couldn't be answered through the ordinary machinery. I didn't make a suggestion box for someone just to mouth off about who's gossiping about who, and I don't mean that in a small way. If you hear something that is undermining, you should immediately bring that to my attention. If someone is overheard talking against the community rules or against the office, that should be and must be reported immediately. But I'm talking about two people laying this to them that keep them awake at night and that sort of thing. You go to the supervisor first about that of your apartment, and then I will be gotten into the picture, and I'll do something about it. I love you very, very much. Remember, the more we work, the more we make, the more we liberate of our, and talking about our people back there that are doomed, as Dr. Daniel Ellsberg said so capably. They're doomed to nuclear annihilation. He said, I have to face the fact that there is no chance of my nation, my country, looking like a wasteland and a desert from east coast to the west coast. Thank you and much love.